We are going to go ahead and get started in the Sunday school hour. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Good to be in church. It's a good day to be saved. We have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. Good to be in church on this beautiful Sunday morning. Thankful to be here, thankful for this church, thankful to have this wonderful building where we can come and meet and be together and spend time in fellowship and spend time in praise and spend time learning the Word of God. But I'm thankful to be in church this morning, and I'm going to ask Brother Chris Mitchell if you would lift up your voice and ask for God's blessing on this service.
Of a God who cares for us moment to moment. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. We thank you for the Word of God that instructs us today. We thank you for a good preacher who gives us the Word. And we pray for him and his family and others in the church that are suffering. Either physically or family, friends, relatives. I pray for my brother Brian, my training, and Father, we cannot name all the things that you do for us, but we know that you're there, and we know that you care, and just be with us and give us joy. Help us to see through all the muck and the mire that's going on in the world today. And just know that we're secure in Christ. And to help us to share the message. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'd invite you to stand with me if you're able. Turn to page 668. We are going to sing this one a cappella. We're going to sing A Passion for Souls, page 668. Page 668. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon to tell. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willingly still will I go nor turn, but trust thee for grace each day. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon to tell. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make thou this answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon to tell. Amen. If you want to turn back with me to page 273, page 273. To sing this one a cappella as well. Fill My Cup, Lord. Page 273.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking.
6, 10 through 17. I'll just give you a minute to get there. All right. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. I love these verses. I love them. If this is our memory verse forever, I'd be fine with it. So we definitely need to be reminded of it. All right, amen. If you would turn with me to page 550, if you're able, willing, I'd ask you to stand with me. Let's sing out to the Lord here. Page number 550, softly and tenderly.
Speed on the Lord, all these ways they give. Amen. The kids can go down to Sunday school. Amen. If you take your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And we'll look here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 4. Oh, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 4. And the Bible says here, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and just this privilege to gather this morning in this church building. Thank you for this building, dear God. Thank you for the air condition we have, Lord. And Lord, just a beautiful day outside. Thank you for the sunshine. But Lord, I pray you'd help us now, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help us spiritually. Lord, I pray you'd help us, dear God, in our hearts and our minds, dear God, and our spirits. Lord, that we would, Lord, be faithful to you. Lord, that we'd keep the faith. We'd finish our course, dear God. And Lord, that we would just be obedient to the day you call us home. So Lord, help us now as we look in your word. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes to receive what's here. Lord, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, in these last days that we're living in. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says here, we've been looking at this last week or two here, talking about giants in the earth in those days, back in Noah's days. There's some things going on in our society, and not just in our society, but within the Christian realm of individuals and people going places that I think they never thought they would go before. And I think as we come closer to our Lord's returning, we're going to see more and more giants in the Lamb. And I'm not talking about giants physically. I'm talking about giants spiritually. David Daniels sent out, under Chick Publications, they sent out a newsletter, I believe every month, called The Battle Cry, and it came to the church last week. And on the very front page of it, it said that we now have a new lesbian Marxist woman over our library system here in the United States of America. That's a giant. It's a giant. And I think the further we go on, the darker it gets in the days that we're facing. We need Christians who won't lose their mind. You see, fear, the Bible says, I believe we can find a principle there, but fear brings torment. Fear also brings paralyzation sometimes. Times where people get afraid, it's either a flight or fight response. And they taught that in law enforcement, they teach it in the military, they teach it to those that are in difficult situations, that when you're faced with something that brings you fear, either you're going to fight that thing that's bringing you to fear, or you're going to run. The bad thing is that when you're faced with a fear that you then just get paralyzed, that's a dangerous spot to be in, that you neither fight it nor flee from it, but you're just paralyzed because of the fear. And I think there's a lot of Christians today that are spending time in things they ought not to be spending time in, and they're facing giants outside of what the Word of God and how the Word of God says to face those giants. They're looking at physical things to fix this physical realm rather than the spiritual things to help deal with the spiritual realm. And there's a lot of Christians out there today that are starting to lose their mind because they're spending too much time with things that's giving them fear, and it's paralyzing them to where they're useless for the kingdom and cause of Jesus Christ. As the days get darker, we need Christians that are stronger to shine the light of Jesus Christ no matter what they face, and to go on despite their fears and not be paralyzed. But you see, you can only go on and face your fears if you spend time in church and in the Word of God and around brethren and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's things coming, brethren, that if the Lord doesn't call us home, it's going to be fearful. But we can't let that paralyze us with our walk with God. So the Bible says here giants in the days of Noah, and I think there's going to be giants that we're even now facing today in our society. Last week we looked a little bit there at the first part of the land of Bashan. We went through and looked at how Og was of the land of Bashan. We gave a definition for land of Bashan, how the Bible or definitions of it give it as a place of rich soil. It's a place of fruitful meadows and pastures. And it also is a place of refreshing streams and water. This place of Bashan over there in the northeastern part of Israel, on the other side of the Jordan, is a very fruitful place. It's a place where the giants back in the biblical times chose to dwell because of how wonderful it was and how prosperous it would be to them and their lives that they had. Thus, the giants wanted the good land. And the giants wanted to keep the Christians or the believers of God who were coming out of Egypt from possessing that land of rich soil, that land of fertile meadows and pastures, and a place of refreshing streams. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe the giants, spiritual giants today, are trying to keep us from these things as well. We looked at last week about how a hardened heart can keep us from entering into the land that God desires for us. But I'll hear to say this morning, we'll pick up with how a broken, pure, good and humble heart will be able to enter into this land that will provide growth and stability. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Matthew 5 and verse number 8. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at verse number 8, the heart. I guess I'm going to get to this morning of how is your heart before God? Is your heart supple? Is your heart pliable? Is your heart honest this morning? Can your heart be broken? Is your heart desiring to be pure and good and humble before our God and our Savior? Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Lord speaks here and he says, "Blessed are who? The pure in heart, for they shall see God." You see, in order to get into this land, in order to have a time with the Lord, an individual has to have a pure heart. Jesus Christ can provide purity spiritually by the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary, but then we also have to desire to keep our hearts pure before God. You see, you cannot enter into this land, and I'm going to hopefully get to a point this morning, that if the heart is cold and hardened and it's not pliable, if the heart is not honest with itself, if the heart won't receive the seed of the Word of God, then there's no root that can grow. So when those troublesome times come, they're not going to be able to stand faithful to what God says. It starts with the heart, a pure heart. Then take your Bible and look over at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and look at verse number 28. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Matthew 11, 28. All right. Jesus says here, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then Jesus says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of who? Learn of Jesus. Learn how Jesus walked. But then the Lord says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Look, a pure heart, a heart like Jesus that's meek and lowly and not lifted up like the devil in Job, a heart of pride that's like another millstone. Jesus said, "My heart is meek, it's lowly," and thus our heart ought to be the same as well. Look over at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke 8, verse 15. Now, this is a Sunday school hour, and I believe in a Sunday school hour is an hour to be teaching. All right? Now, I believe this as a pastor, and I believe this before I was even a pastor, that we need scriptures. That's why I took some time this week to write them all down here. You say, "Preach, that's a lot of Bible, that's a lot of scriptures." In reality, it's not. It's not. And I was reading, I got another book that I'm trying to go through. Actually, I went through it already. called, somebody wrote it on The Chosen. There's a TV series out there now called The Chosen, and it's about the life of Jesus Christ. And it's taken off like wildfire. But it's directed by three Mormons, and the man who plays Jesus is Catholic, and he seeks and does things by mysticism. And yet you got Christians today who are falling in love with it and falling in line with it, which the directors themselves said 95% of what they put in their television series is not Bible. They tell in this television series that Peter had a gambling problem. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. But you know what? It's a lot easier for a Christian to sit down and watch TV than to get in this book, which takes work and effort. It takes work and effort. We want it just handed to us. Now this is even if you desire it. Just make me a good soldier for Jesus Christ. It don't happen. It don't happen. Like I said before, I like watching some military things, specifically about military things. I like watching training. And some of our special forces are put through training to get them in the most uncomfortable, tired positions they possibly can get that soldier in. So that soldier, when the time comes in battle, that he will not even think about the positions he's in. He'll only think about the objective he has to take over. You know why they have the Navy SEALs roll around in the sand and get sand in their ears? They put sand in their mouth. They put sand in their eyes. They roll. Why? To make them the most miserable position they possibly can be in. Then they'd have them go out there and lay in that San Diego Bay in waters that are around 60 degrees and basically almost freeze those men to death. Why? So that when they get into battle, they can focus on the enemy and take care of what they need to take care of. You see, you can only gain those things by going through the fire. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. We all have to take some time this week, if you get an opportunity, and go through the first 10 or 11 chapters of Leviticus and read about those offerings that are given to God. Those sacrifices that God required, the peace offering, the burnt offering, the sin offering, the offering of thanksgiving, the wave offering, the heave offering. And as they take those bullocks and those lambs and those goats, they spill out their blood. Some of them are cut in pieces and they're put onto a brazen altar to be burned and sacrificed unto God. And that is well-pleasing in God's sight. And we have to expect as Christians, if we're going to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we will be torn into pieces. We will be put on the fire. We will feel like we're being consumed. But through that, God can give honor if it's done with a holy attitude and if it's clean. See, if we go through that fire and we have a wrong, bad attitude, it's going to make the sacrifice unacceptable to God. God won't accept an unclean sacrifice. God only accepts clean sacrifices. But I say that to say here in Luke chapter 8, look what the Bible says here in verse number 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And then what else? Bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Now we're gonna hopefully, Lord willing, put all these things together, but there's a lot of things there in verse number 15. It does no good just to hear the word of God. Oh, preacher, I hear what you're saying, preacher. That's good. That's the first part. You need to hear it. But then you need to keep it. Well, I keep it, preacher. I keep God's word. Well, that's good too. But then also you bring forth fruit. And then are you allowing God to work in your life to bring forth fruit with patience? I saw that chuckle, brother. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the rubber meets the road, is as we bring forth fruit, but then we bring forth that fruit as God desires to bring forth that fruit. And as God starts to prune and God starts to cut and God starts to do the digging around and starts to dung around that tree to bring forth the fruit, we're like, oh God, that's painful. God, I don't like that. And God says, just be patient. Well, I can't be patient. God says, well, if you can't be patient, you can't get the fruit that I want out of you. To bring forth fruit with patience. Because the school that God puts us through is a school of patience. Because that's the only way you're going to get good fruit. You see, look, it goes back to even modern evangelism today. We expect to just to throw a seed out and the very next day get a crop coming up. That's hyper-soul-winism right there. Ain't no farmer in this room or out here that's a fool enough to think, I go put my corn seeds out in April, and I'm going to go out April 15th, and there's going to be a full crop out there for me to reap. No, it's going to take months. It's going to take months. Sometimes it takes years to get a crop, to get fruit. But we want things instantaneous. God so often doesn't work instantaneous. God takes his time and brings forth fruit, but it's fruit with patience. Now, fruit with patience. Take your Bible and look at James chapter 1, verse number 4. So you have an honest, good heart. You have a pure heart. You have a lowly and meek heart. And all these positions of the heart can bring forth fruit if it's done with patience. Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. James 1. Verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience. The only way to get that patience is for your faith to be tried. That's the only way to get it. That's the only way to get fruit that comes to production, is being willing to allow your faith to be tried by God. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. If you don't let patience have her perfect work, you're not going to bring that fruit to production that needs to be brought to production. Why? Because the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. And it talks about then being a tree of life. A tree of life. Listen, we can give people the tree of life, but they got to taste that fruit and taste that it's good. What do people taste when they taste you? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Do they taste bitter sour or salty sweet? Because they're tasting, because we are the representation, we are the ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's important, listen, this rich soil that the devil does not want us to have, the devil does not want us to gain rich soil for growth and stability, and he doesn't definitely want to have fruitful meadows and pastures to where we have fruit production and health in our spiritual life. He wants to keep us dry, hardened, and no fruit being produced, because that's what he wants the world to see. He doesn't want to see a faithful, strong Christian living for his Savior, Jesus Christ. Take your Bible next. So patience got to have her perfect work. Look over at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. And bring forth fruit with patience. Hebrews chapter 6, and look at verse number 12. Actually, jump up to verse 10, Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor. Look what it says, labor of love. It's a labor. It's not going to come easy. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. And it doesn't say work and love. No, your labor of love. Because there's going to be times where God is going to want you to love someone that's unlovable. God's going to want you to do right to someone that is impossible in your mind to do right to. Yeah. So that's why it's a labor of love. But faith, the Bible says in Galatians, works by love. So if you're not laboring to love, your faith's going to be affected. And if your faith's going to be affected, then you're going to go off of sight. Rather, we walk by faith, not by sight. Brethren, all these things are linked together. Look, I started doing a study on this thing, and the more I dove into it, the more things started to open up. I'm thinking, Lord, this is all so intertwined. Father, there is so much here to try to even put it all together. It is all so linked up. If you can't love, your faith's going to be affected. Because faith works by love. So if there's a lack of love in your life towards someone that you don't like, and God says, I want you to love your brother, if you say, well, I can't love them, then your faith is going to be hindered. And then instead of walking by faith, you're going to start walking by sight, and you're going to see the giants, and you're going to run. Brethren, this stuff is all linked together. All linked together. And it all starts right back to here. The heart. The heart. Brethren, this is not methods and mechanics. This is the heart. I'm afraid a lot of Baptists today, they got methods, they got programs, the heart. We know how to do the right things. We know how to have the right programs. We know how to do the right songs, but it's dead because of the heart. And if the heart's not right, nothing's going to go forward and produce the fruit that God desires for the fruit to be produced. Because that's what people are going to taste. The people, look, brethren, people today don't understand what I'm saying. Almost everybody and their brother out there today has heard of Jesus. These people don't need to hear about Jesus. They need to see Jesus. And I'm not talking about a physical manifestation of Jesus. I'm talking about seeing Jesus in your life. Stop the words, start giving some action. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. How is your life evident to others? Well, I can talk about Jesus. The devils can talk about Jesus. The devils believe and tremble. The devils can quote scripture. Listen, brethren, please, this morning, do you have a dead religion or do you have a living Christ inside? Listen, the devil quoted scripture back to Jesus. The devil knows the Bible. The devil could go to Bible verses if he wants to. Now, he switched it around a little bit, but he tried using scripture on Jesus. So it comes back to the heart and a walk with God and a faith that's settled and not easily shaken. Now, fruit production. Bible says here in Hebrews 6, verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Who do we minister to, brethren? The saints. Do you see these verses here in verse number 10? A labor of love, and then he goes on to say in verse number 10, which ye have showed towards his name, Jesus' name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's not just the pastors. That's just not the pastors. That's between one another. We are to be ministers to one another. But it's going to be a labor of love and it's going to be work. But that's our job, to minister to one another. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Look at verse 12, because this is easy here, verse 12. That ye be not slothful. And we're going to get into this, because we're going to go to Proverbs 24. If you're slothful, it's going to affect your fruit production. You just let your tree go, your apple trees and your pear trees and you just let your tomatoes go and your corn, and you don't take care of them, and you're just slothful, you're a slothful farmer, you're not going to have a good fruit production. He says that ye be not slothful, but look what it says in verse 12, but followers of them who through, here it is again, faith, through faith and patience inherit the what? Promises. Inherit the promises. The promises of what? The promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. Bashan, the land of Bashan that God gave them and they took. A land that's rich soil, fruitful meadows and pastures and refreshing streams. Listen, there is a rest for the children of God. But how many children of God fall short of entering into that rest? Entering into that the promises that God has given us. It's a shame to me, and I'm going to say this morning, it would be a shame for a Christian to lose his mind because he's looking more at what this world is saying and what the news is saying and what the government's saying, and they're losing their testimony than following what the Bible says, and God says, I can give you rest. It's a shame for me today to say, and I say it to myself, it's a shame for a Christian to be unsettled and careful about the things that are going on in this world. Our God said, I'm greater than this world. He's overcome this world. So for his children to be like, oh, this is happening over here, and this is going to happen over here, and have you heard this news over here? How do you even know it's true? Brethren, stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. I had somebody, this was last year when I first started coming to this church, sending me all this stuff about all this bad stuff that's going to happen because of COVID this past winter. Like this past winter was supposed to be a death trap. This is going to happen when this interacts with this, and this doctor says this, and when the flu shot interacts with the COVID shot, blah, 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 blah. And ain't not one of it happened. And I'm not saying it won't, but when they said it was going to happen, it didn't happen. And so you know what it produced in people's lives? A fear. Oh, what's going to happen this winter? We're all going to die because this is going to happen here. And you're paralyzed. You're paralyzed as a Christian. And you're going to say Jesus can help you? We listen too much to Fox News. We listen too much to podcasts. We listen too much to what this world's saying rather than what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? Now, I'm not talking about living careless. I'm talking about living by faith, trusting God, and using common horse sense. So don't think in here I'm talking about living some careless life and just throwing everything to the wind and I don't believe God would have us to live that way. But I also believe that God wouldn't have us live a life of fear and dictated by what this world's telling us. Brethren, put yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. The Lord will not leave me alone with this theme. God will not leave me alone. You're going to see it in the Sunday morning hour. Facing our giants. Facing our giants. Can you imagine seeing a man as big as that window and God says, go in there and take it? But God, do you see how God says, go in there and take it? But God, we can't, they're too big. God, what has God led us out here to die in the wilderness? Has God brought us this far to destroy us? And God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. Get out of here. Your kids will go in there and take it. You're going to die in the wilderness. And how many Christians today are willing to die in the wilderness rather than face their giants? The promises of peace, of happiness, of joy, of tranquility, of settledness that God has for his children, yet we fall short of it because we're afraid of the giants. And we can't get to the soil. We can't get to the soil we need to get to because we won't fight the battles that God wants us to fight. We want it just given to us. And it's not going to happen that way, brethren. God expects us to fight for it. Take your Bible and look over from Hebrews chapter 6. Look over at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. Hebrews 10 and look at verse number 36. Hebrews 10 verse 36. Look at the Bible says here. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, look what this now says, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith, but we have need of patience. We have need of patience. We need God to allow God to work in our life to bring forth growth and stability, and eventually, hopefully, fruit. Now, take your Bible and look over at Isaiah chapter 37 and verse number 31. I said this last week, that in growth and stability in a Christian walk, a Christian has to go down in order for fruit to come up. All right? Look at Isaiah chapter 37 and look at verse number 31. The principle is found here in Isaiah chapter 37, verse number 31. The Bible says here, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." The root goes down, but then as the root goes downward, the fruit comes upward. So the way down is up. In order to have successful fruit production, you've got to have a deep root down, and that root is Jesus Christ. You need to dig down deep into the Word of God. Dig down deep in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of Him, for He is meek and lowly. So, the root down, fruit up, goes in line with Luke chapter 14 and verse number 11. Luke 14, verse number 11. Luke chapter 14. And look at verse number 11 here. Jesus says here in Luke 14, 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Down is up, but if you go up, you're coming down. Down is up. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Going down, "He that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted." Well, look at this crowd right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 who humbled themselves before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So the Bible, Paul says here to the church at Corinth, he says unto them, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, which was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So the churches of Macedonia had given to them or conferred to them, or it was imparted to them, the grace of God. Why? I believe we find the answers in verses 2 through 9. Look, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Do you see the principle? You go down, you humble yourself, you go down, you become lowly, you become poor for Christ's sake. And the Bible says here that they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The more that they thought, the less they thought of themselves and the more they thought about Jesus Christ, the greater blessing they were to others. The less they thought of themselves and the more they thought about Jesus Christ caused them to be a greater blessing to others. And the less we think of ourselves and the more we think of Him, God will then allow us to be a greater blessing to others. But when it's all about us and how we can please us and how, well, God, about God, me, it's me, God, it's me, God. God says your fruit production is going to go down to near zero because God's going to say it's all about you when in reality it should be all about me. Because you can't be to others what God wants you to be if you're always thinking about you. And therefore, you lose peace, you lose hope, you get discouraged, you get despair, you get anxiety, you get all these things. Why? Because it's about you and not about others, and most importantly, about Jesus Christ. Look at this now. These people, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Brethren, get the principle. The further they went down into their poverty, the greater joy they had. We have so much that we can't even keep, and we have no joy. We can, brethren, after services this morning, we can basically, almost, I would think most people in here, could basically go to any restaurant and eat basically any type of meal you'd want to eat today. Just within a few short minutes, we could have steak, we could have salad, we could have chicken, we could have fish, we could have fried fish, we could have broiled fish, we could have baked fish, we could have chicken. Brethren, endless. You can go to one restaurant there on Grape Street and get all that in one restaurant. And that's just the food part of it. Yet, how many people today, Christians, have basically zero joy? Bickering, complaining, murmuring, whining about everything, when we got the most things that we've ever had in all the world. I would have to say America is the most blessed country that's ever been on this planet. Outside of the time when Solomon reigned there in Israel. But I would think at the time where Solomon reigned in Israel, he didn't even have air conditioning. We got air conditioning. So we're above Solomon. We got cars. Solomon couldn't be in China in one day. We can. We're blessed. But the more we're blessed, the more we're tempted to complain. Just like God said in the book of Deuteronomy with his people. He said, the more you get blessed, the more you're going to be tempted to complain and murmur. But the less you have, the less opportunity there is to murmur and complain because you realize, I got nothing, but I'm happy. And you would see this principle. You would see this principle if you go to a foreign land. I'd like to someday take a missions trip with this church if somebody would be willing to go with me and go back down to Haiti and go up in the mountains of the Dominican Republic, and you'll meet some of the sweetest people and happiest people who have basically next to nothing. And yet when you come back to America, you'll be shell-shocked at how much we have and how miserable people are here. You can go up into the tiniest villages up there in the mountains, dirt floors, basically a shack of a home, no running water, very little electricity, and they're happy. They have joy. And most of them aren't even saved. It's just a simple life, and they're happy. You come to America, and everybody wants to kill you. Because we're spoiled. And we think it's owed to us. We think a retirement program is owed to us. When the vast majority of this world has absolutely no retirement plan, nor healthcare system. But we demand it because we're Americans. We deserve this. Says who? Says who? We ought to be thankful, and we're missing, brethren, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Sometimes you think I'm stepping on your toes. You should see my toes after a service. That's why I got steel-toed dress shoes. We're missing something today, brethren. We're missing something today. I think we're missing a deep joy that God wants us to have. A deep, settled joy. Now, I'm not talking about a Joel Osteen coat hanger smile. That's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the ooey, gooey, sappy, charismatic, God's good, he loves you. No, I'm talking about that deep, abiding peace and joy in Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 8. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering. There it is again. Here it is. I read it over there in Hebrews. Ministering to who? The saints. I wonder if when Paul went and they wanted to give this gift, this physical gift, Paul, I wonder, Paul's like, no, you all need to keep this money. You're in a bad spot right now. It's okay. The brethren down here will understand that you can't give because, listen, you all are in deep poverty as well. You just don't worry about it. And they're like, no, take it. Our God will provide for us. Even though we're in deep poverty, we have joy. And if I have to go without a meal tomorrow, I'll go without a meal in order to help my brother down there. Brethren, we're so far from it. We're so far from it. We're so far from it. I'll go without a meal today in order to be able to help my brother who doesn't have a meal at all today. And you see this mindset in these people here in Macedonia. And they were bestowed the grace of God. Why? Because of their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They had nothing to give, yet they found something to give. And it said that they went beyond their power and they were willing of themselves. And verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see, in order to get where you need to get, the land of Bashan, you have to be willing of yourself and you have to be willing to give yourself to the Lord and let God work in your life. And when it hurts and when it's painful, don't turn your back on God. Continue going on forward with Him. Don't stop, but let patience have her perfect work. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abounded in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. And look what he says in verse 8. And to prove the sincerity of your love. Talks cheap. Talks cheap. Paul's saying, hey, listen, your brothers and sisters up there in Macedonia, they gave of what they didn't even have to give. And Paul says, listen, now I'm here to prove you and the sincerity of your love. Put your talk into action. Put your talk in action. Lastly, because he says in verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. There's a reckoning day, brethren. We'll have no excuses someday when we stand before Jesus Christ. We will have no excuses. Well, Lord, you just don't understand, dear God. I need my chocolate ice cream. God, you just don't understand. I won't live without it, God. And the Lord says, My son was rich. My son was rich, yet my son was willing to become poor so that you might be rich. Are we willing to become poor in order for others to be rich? And not just physically rich, spiritually rich. Spiritually rich. Physical things will do little for us. Material things, little for us. It's what's in here and what God provides for His Word that will sustain us through any storm we might face. Growth and stability. How is growth and stability obtained? By the rich soils found in Bashan. Get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Draw nigh to Jesus Christ. And then make sure that your heart is also supple, honest, pure, broken, and good. In order to receive the seeds that God wants to plant in your life, in order to bring forth fruit unto production. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I pray these things made sense this morning, dear God. Lord, help us to increase our faith. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight, dear God. And Lord, help us to realize that the just live by faith. And Lord, that Lord, you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, dear God. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. So, Lord, please help our faith. Lord, help our love. Help our ministering. And dear God, help us to always be about your business. And make sure that our heart is always supple to receive what you'd have us to receive. And we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break here. About 5 minutes, if any man is interested in praying, we'll be praying in my office. Amen. Take a little break.